And welcome to Wednesday on the Pure Opelka podcast. Mike here, Dr. Roizen, usually here on Wednesdays to talk wellness. He's delayed a day, but we'll get him in here probably tomorrow. And next Monday, I'm going to be hanging out with Dr. Roizen in Washington, D.C., so we'll get a little more insight to the things he's talking about. But we have a very important guest today, Mike Rowe. Yes, that Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs, from Mike Rowe Works, from some of the best podcast interviews you've heard. Mike Rowe is going to be here, and we'll get to all of that just around the corner. A couple things I have to make comments on. The situation in Arizona with the Arizona Supreme Court allowing a ban, almost total abortion ban, something from 1864, it just astounds me. I don't understand how this can happen, how a law can be enforced that was in place before you became a state. It just seems like this was some sort of plot to smear the GOP. And Carrie Lake, who's running for Senate out there, has already said she's not on board with this. We'll see what happens. What I think is the most logical take on all of this, not just Donald Trump's decision to come out and say, we don't want a national abortion amendment, either way, for, against. We want to give it to the states. That's what happened when Roe v. Wade was overturned. It was given back to the states. That's something that the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg actually agreed with. But I also agree with Greg Gutfeld, who talked about this last week. Gutfeld's take on abortion is worth listening to. I think he has a very well-reasoned and very, very well-thought-out angle on this.
If the Democratic Party is the official party of the awfuls, the affluent white liberal females, and there is only one issue, and I beat this horse yesterday, and it's abortion. These are not single issue voters. They're single issue fanatics. You know, the border could get worse. Crime could triple. Speech could be banned. War could explode. Prices would soar. None of that matters, because in case you haven't noticed, it doesn't matter now. What you're seeing today is a result of the abortion voter. You know, you have billions flowing to foreign countries. You got drug addiction, homelessness, the decline of education, the decline in mental health. Did I say inflation? Inflation. All of these are happening now, and they are consequences of a party that won due to millions of women who were galvanized to vote because they felt that abortion was under threat. So if you want all these bad things to continue, by all means, keep energizing the pro-abortion faction, because they're just going to keep voting. You said yesterday, Trump could say he'll leave abortion alone. They probably won't believe them. Probably right. Jessica said there's enough footage of Trump saying the contrary, and you're right. So it is a challenge. So how do you overcome it? I think Republicans have to be blunt and say, hey, if you want your abortion, you can keep your abortion. Our moral argument exists, and we hope that one day you'll listen to it and take it seriously. But right now, our mission is to save this country, because you cannot reduce abortion in America if there's no America left. So a pro-life shift would be from politics to persuasion, right? Because threats and bans only feed the beast. So you have to just say, hey, look, we won Roe v. Wade. Now let's focus on everything else, because abortion, whether you like it or not, and I'm pro-life, it's become an acceptable evil, just like war. You know, we hate war, but there it goes. And men wage the war, women wage the abortions, call it even. You take abortion off the table, Republicans will be in power forever.
You take abortion off the table and Republicans will be in power forever. I think that's what the GOP is trying to do. But I also believe the left is trying to keep it on the table, even lying about it, if they have to. We'll see. We'll pay attention to that. Also, this was a story that isn't getting enough attention. The New York Times, and I'm sure other elements of the left side of the mainstream media, are trying to speculate that Donald Trump may be taking Ozempic or Wegovy or Mounjaro, one of those weight loss drugs, and they think that's a problem. And this is amazing to me, because they are the ones who used to get upset and mock Donald Trump, saying that he was too fat, he needed to lose weight, etc. This happened with Lulu from the New York Times speculating that Donald Trump is on Ozempic.
This Easter weekend, there was a very touching photo of former President Trump with two of his grandchildren.
Now, let me just remind you, Trump knows all of his grandchildren, recognizes all of his grandchildren, allows all of his grandchildren on family vacations, unlike Joe Biden, who doesn't recognize all of his grandchildren, doesn't let all of the grandchildren join him on family vacations. But let's get back to Lulu and her insanity.
And he's looking, if you see there, rather svelte. And that caught the eye, as you can imagine, of many on social media and elsewhere. And there has been a lot of chatter about whether he is on the big O. And by that, I mean Ozempic, to the point where the New York Times, my employer, actually ended up writing to the campaign to formally ask them if he was on Ozempic. And the reason I find this interesting is because Trump is larger than life. That is his brand. He's a big guy. And this shrinks you. And so it might be that he wants to be healthier. It might be that he wants to be more attractive on camera for the campaign. But it also might be that it could hurt him in the end, because he just doesn't seem quite as imposing, perhaps, if he does go on the Ozempic journey. Which
And I know you were
have.
Worried because you want him to be as imposing as possible.
Of course, of course. It's really out of concern for him that maybe it might not be.
We should just point out, we have no idea if he's what he's doing. Maybe he's.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he's working out.
He's such a disciplined guy.
Yeah. Gang, thank you all for being here.
Yeah, Chris Wall is trying to get out of that because obviously it was just insane what these people were trying to say. If Donald Trump's trying to get healthier, why is that a problem? You applauded Oprah. You applauded Whoopi Goldberg. You applaud all the celebrities who are using it. But if Donald Trump uses it, oh, Orange Man, so it must be bad, right? These people are nuts. They are absolutely nutso. All right, you know who's not nuts? Mike Rowe is not nuts. Mike Rowe is one of the great guys of all time. I've known him for more than three decades. We've talked over the years. He's been on the show. He's been on the podcast in the past. And he's around, so I reached out because I love his podcast. His podcast is amazing. It's called The Way I Heard It, and it is wonderful interviews with people. And we have to talk about his program to get kids into the trades versus running them through the college mill and saddling them with all that debt. Not everybody needs to go to college. The world needs plumbers and electricians. And as we heard in Caddyshack, the world needs ditch diggers too, Danny. But Mike Rowe's joining us. Mike Rowe, of course, from the past, Dirty Jobs, etc., and then Mike Rowe Works, which is the foundation that gives scholarships to people who want to go to trade schools. But as I mentioned, the podcast, which is just so amazing. And one of the more recent episodes with Jimmy Failla, the rising star at Fox News, funny guy Jimmy Failla. Now, I have to ask you, Mike, was the Jimmy Failla episode of the podcast, was that due to the fact that Failla has a history as a New York City cab driver, kind of a working man? Was that part of the decision?
That's a big part of it. You know, I was in New York a few months ago and making the rounds, promoting our scholarship thing. And Jimmy expressed an interest. He had a new show, and he asked me if I'd like to pop on. And I was in the building. I said, sure. We left for about a half hour, and I knew of him. But, you know, Jimmy's like a lot of guys that are out there, Mike. They've got a great work ethic, and they have a great attitude, and they're on their way, you know. And it's noisy these days, and there are a lot of people trying to clamor for a toehold in this crazy industry. And when I come across, you know, Tyrus is the same way. These are interesting people with a real point of view, and I was more than happy to have him on the podcast and laugh some more.
Yeah, he does bring the laughter every single time. I just randomly ran into him at the auto show last week on press day, and you can't help but laugh because everywhere you look, there's something that's going to spark a funny to happen. Mike Rowe, you said you've been making the rounds. I saw you on with Aaron Burnett the other day. I see you regularly pop in here and there. And have you been on with Cuomo, or is that coming up?
That's coming up, although I have been on recently. I'll be in New York again later next week, and we're doing a whole hour dedicated to the trades. I don't know how closely you're following the headlines and in the foundation part of my world, but there have been some real, well, I'll just say it's kind of exciting data. I don't get excited about data as a rule, but we've been talking a lot about the reinvigoration of the skilled trades and the growing suspicion a lot of Gen Z has around the traditional four-year diploma route. And as you know, I've been at this about 16, 17 years, and it's high time people started to think rationally about the cost of an education.
Well, I think once they start getting the monthly bills and they look at how long it's going to take to pay off, if they pay it off themselves and it's not forgiven, they suddenly think, what did I do in those 4 years? I might have been able to spend a couple of years in trade school and then I'd be a couple of years on my way to a successful career for the rest of my life. I have a golf addiction, Mike. I play golf every weekend with the same group of guys, same three guys. One of them's a retired Navy vet. The other one was a guy who puts in windows and doors. And the other one's had his own little auto mechanic shop that his dad started 30 years ago, and he runs it now. The guys in the trade business are the biggest earners in the foursome. I will tell you that. So
they probably have the best stories too, Mike. And by the way, you don't have a golf addiction. You have a people addiction. You know, I've known you for a while, too, and you're attracted to people with stories and people who you can learn something from. And if you get to hit a golf ball around while you're doing all that, great. But, like people tend to find each other in this world, whether they're on the golf course or not.
That's a very true assessment. I feel like I'm on the couch with a really good common sense psychologist here. Let's talk about it. Yeah, it does. It will. You know it. Let's talk about the foundation a little bit. You're getting ready to target, I guess, a big year for scholarships with Mike Rowe Works. And I think this is really exciting.
Thanks. We've been giving away a couple million bucks a year now for a while. We do it in the form of work ethic scholarships. We earmark that money for young men and women who want to learn a skill that's in demand. To say it another way, these are not scholarships for universities. These are scholarships for trade schools and apprenticeship programs. And we've assisted a couple thousand people over the last 15 years or so. Many of them have gone on to start their own businesses. Some are just happily working in their chosen field. But all of them, Mike, made an affirmative decision to learn a skill that was in demand. And that decision pays dividends, both in the money you save in a four-year degree and in the fact that you can start earning right away. The biggest thing that I'm excited about now is that we've really made an affirmative case and tried successfully, I think, to dispel a lot of the myths and the misperceptions and stigmas and stereotypes that keep people out of the trades. Those ideas are getting very wobbly. You know, and people are starting to think twice about not just the cost of a four-year degree, but the actual upside of learning how to weld. I don't know how many welders we've trained who are making six figures now, but more than a few. And so the more of those stories we can get out there, hopefully we can turn the ship around a little faster. And that's what this is. You know, when you're talking about perceptions and attitudes, it's like turning around an aircraft carrier at sea. It takes years to do it, but the evidence demands a verdict. And right now the evidence says there's real hope in the skilled trade, real opportunity in the trades. So that's the song I've been singing and the drum I've been beating, and I'm still doing it.
Well, and it's working, but you're not saying, hey, college is worthless. You're saying that there's value in everything, but you got to make sure you get the value. And there's value in trades and there's value in education. You're not totally saying, hey, don't bother with college. You're kind of saying, take a good look.
I'm saying, look at everything. You know, I mean, I'm sure there are people listening to this right now who would be and will be well served by pursuing a four-year degree. God knows our country needs engineers and doctors and people who matriculate through the so-called higher education system. But when you promote one form of education as the best path for the most people, and that form of education just happens to be the most expensive, well, that's how you get $1.7 trillion of student loans on the books. That's how universities get permission to charge whatever they want for a diploma. And that's how you wind up with a skills gap. We got 10 million open jobs right now. Most of them don't require a four-year degree. They require training. So, yeah, we've kind of condemned ourselves to a certain kind of lunacy over the last few decades. Really, ever since we took shop class out of high school, we've really had our thumb on the scale. And you're starting to see now some of the unintended consequences of doing that.
Yeah, but as you said, now we're starting to see the change. Now you're starting to see people turn and realize repairing diesel engines, working on rigs, welding, electricians, plumbers. These are people who will never be out of work. Well, I know the diesel mechanics are worried about the EV thing. But generally, if you understand mechanics and how mechanical things work and you can fix them, you're never going to be out of work if you have a certain amount of skill and work ethic. That's always going to be there.
This is the thing that I think became readily apparent during the lockdowns. And, you know, we still got some PTSD from that whole crazy time. But one of the lessons that's starting to stick is that certain vocations are simply never going to be outsourced or replaced by robots or by AI. And those just happen to be the vocations that we celebrated on Dirty Jobs. And it's the same vocations that my foundation is focused on. And you don't need to take my word for it, really. You know, it's no longer a conversation about kids who need a useful set of skills getting hooked up with companies who have openings. It's not just that. Today, I get to ask your listeners questions like, how long do you want to wait for a plumber? How long do you want to wait for an electrician? You know, I challenge anybody to find one construction project going on in the housing market right now that's coming in on time. They're simply not there. And it's happening primarily. I mean, there were some supply chain issues for a while there, obviously, but the biggest culprit is skilled labor. For every five skilled tradespeople who retire in 2023, two replace them. Same was true in 2022. Same's been true for the last 15 years. So we've been dealing with some really bad math. We've been discouraging people from a whole long list of totally viable careers. And the skills gap is just one of those unintended consequences that's been with us now. But look, it's also good news, because sometimes things have to go splat before they get better. And until people realize that we all have skin in the game and that we all benefit from a workforce that's truly balanced, where blue and white collar, you know, where there's no judgment placed on one or the other. These are two sides of the same coin. And without both sides, we got no currency.
Yeah, we need each other. That's very important. I have two other quick things I want to ask you about, but where do we tell people to go to find out about the scholarships and how they can apply?
The current application process is winding down in the next week and a half, so there's still some time, but you should hurry. It's microworks.org, M-I-K-E-R-O-W-E, works.org. There's at least $1 million there right now, and we'll be awarding that in the next couple of months.
Great. That's fantastic. Now, Mike, two things. The whiskey is just great. I have to tell you, I'm a customer. I'm a repeat offender. I was dubious at first. I have a discriminating bourbon palate, and you got me with the first bottle, and now I'm a regular. And that's helping the scholarship fund, is it not?
Correct. It's called Noble. It's Tennessee whiskey, K-N-O-B-E-L. It's named after my granddad, to whom Dirty Jobs was dedicated and the foundation to. So I just, you know, people ask me over the years, it would be kind of fun, they say, to sit down and just maybe have a drink with you and chat about whatever. So when Dirty Jobs came back, I got a line on some five-year-old bourbon, put my pop's name on it, and it's been a fundraiser for Microworks, and it's done great. And so, yeah, it's still out there.
Yeah, and it's great. And I love you stumble into liquor stores on occasion and sign the bottles when you. That's always my favorite story. Well, you know, I wasn't judging, Mike. That wasn't me judging.
Understood.
Well, now, you said a lot of people say they'd like to have a drink with Mike Rowe. I think a lot of America listens to the common sense that you approach problems and situations with and think that common sense is needed in more places in this country. Have any or all of the political parties approached you and said, hey, why can't we get you to be part of this? Or is that even of interest to you? I thought RFK would probably try and squeeze you and say, do you want to be my VP? But he didn't, did he?
Well, no, he actually did. And for the first time in my life, I actually considered jumping into that miasma. Ultimately, I passed because, to be honest, Mike, I decided this year that the foundation had turned a corner and that I wanted to turn micro works into macro works. And part of what Bobby said to me is, look, what you're doing in the foundation is going to be a huge part of my platform. And if you really want to blow it up, this is a way to do it. And I think he's right, but I also think the country deserves somebody who can multitask better than I can. I'm a single issue guy. Well, maybe two, education and workforce. And it was really instructive, though, you know, talking with him and some other people, too. It just made it clear to me that my little foundation is onto something. You know, and the $8 or $9 million we've awarded so far has made a difference in some people's lives, and their stories are going to make a bigger difference in other people's lives. But I don't think I need to be vice president to make that happen. At least I hope I don't.
Well, you know, Fetterman's already kind of broken the wardrobe thing, so you wouldn't necessarily have to rock the suit every day. Just
no,
saying.
Look, man, all my suits are rubber at this point, so no, I doubt I would be setting any new trends.
Well done. I appreciate the common sense. I appreciate what you're doing to help people and all the people you've helped already and will help in the future. And Dom Giordano said hello, by the way. He said you're one of his favorites as well. So,
well, give him my regards and tell him to forget about that $20 he owes me. And honestly, whatever good I've done, I can't do it without guys like you and Dom and people who always invite me on their shows to spread the word. We are making a difference. And it's really, really gratifying to see it happen in real time.
In closing, I'm just going to throw this out there. Now, you may never take my call again after you hear this. But if you ever want to come here to the Philadelphia area and do a night where we push the bourbon and do a panel discussion, we would host, like, it's not like it's like pints and politics, but it have to be like whiskey and wisdom or something. And it all be noble and for a noble cause. Yeah, the door is always open.
Thank you. And, you know, I wrote a treatment for a show a couple years ago. I'm liable to dust off now called Drinking with Geniuses. And I think you and Dom would probably qualify. So careful what you wish for.
Well, we could film the pilot one night in Bucks County at a lovely bar filled with fans. Mike Rowe, thank you. I know I've pushed the time limit here, but always appreciate everything you're doing, sir.
No worries at all. I appreciate the chance to come on and give my regards to the gang.
Thank you. And there he goes, Mike Rowe. That was a conversation we had a few days ago. And since that time, Mike's people have said they are very interested in having him come here and do a night. It might be cocktails and common sense. It might be whiskey and wisdom. It might be drinking with geniuses. We haven't decided yet, but stay tuned. I have to run. But I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Roizen and Jim Stovall. And heads up, Saturday morning, 6 to 8 a.m., I will be on live in Washington, D.C. with the weekend wrap-up. 6 a.m., Washington, D.C. on WMAL. More on that and more tomorrow. Till next time, testudo, my friends. Testudo.